All right, we are back here on this beautiful morning in the neighborhood. We're switching up our guests this morning. Got Pastor Caleb in the room and Miss Chelsea, Pastor Chelsea on the phone. Miss Chelsea, do you hear me?
I do. Good morning. It's good to be with all of you again.
It's good to have you all. Me and Caleb's already been sending wrestling memes. What is this? Is it called GIFs? Or GIFs, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah. We were rocking those. I showed him what I looked like wrestling. it looks like a sumo wrestler. And so that's me wrestling. It's about the only kind I know how to do. So he said he ain't right. I said, watch this. I'll show you how unright I am. All right, so we're going to get right into this because we don't have – I want to get every second I can. And I appreciate you coming back on. I loved – Pastor Caleb, the revival was awesome. Thank you again so much for letting me be a part of it. Just what a move of God that was, and it was awesome. And Miss Chelsea, you and your husband knocked it out of the ballpark both nights I was there leading us into worship. And
thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, y'all did an excellent job. I just loved it. It was nice to hear some of the songs we hadn't heard for a while. And so me and Heather was like, man, we really missed that song. Like, we loved that. And I loved your I thought y'all just did a tremendous job, and just the whole revival was great. So thank you all of you guys for putting that on and being a part for that community. So let's talk into this being pastor kids. What was it like growing up as a pastor kid for you guys?
Caleb, go ahead. I will say I really feel like our childhood growing up was really normal. I think one of the most important things about being a pastor's kid, if you're a pastor and you have children, really showing what a servant's heart looks like and, you know, showing them aspects of ministry, but also making sure you're keeping some of that time separate. And our parents really did that for us. They made some separate time just for family. I mean, I had so many friends growing up that their dads were also pastors, and, you know, their idea of a vacation was taking their kids out of state to a revival and making them serve and at revival and stuff like that. And that's great, and there's times for that, but our parents also took us on vacation where it was just the four of us and really made time for us. And I think really just making time for your kids, it makes it easier to understand when, like our dad was in and out all the time, you know, visiting at the hospital and having to leave like a vacation early to do funerals and stuff like that. And it's a lot easier to understand when you still come home and you're able to make separate time for your family. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Pastor Caleb, what about you? Do you feel the same?
Yeah, they always made sure there was a separate time for us. And they also, you know, for as long as they could until we got older, they shielded us from things that they didn't necessarily want us to see. Like if anyone was ever coming at him, we didn't know. He never brought it up in front of us. He would only talk to mom late at night when we're already asleep. So we never knew if anything was wrong at the church, which also caused us not to treat anybody different, which I really respect because if I knew, man, I wouldn't even talk to that person, or I would shoot him a dirty look or something because I'm so tough and bad, you know. You know, and strike the fear of God in them with these eyes, you know. So I think that there was a lot in that because I think a lot of the times pastors' kids get the way that they are because of watching people hurt their parents and just being done with it because we have to share our parents with a lot of people because they're spiritual parents to a lot of people. And then it's like, okay, so then they're also going to hurt them. So you're spending a lot of time with people who are hurting you. And I'd rather you just be here. You see what I'm saying?
And as a kid, that's hard to unpack.
Right. So that So having that separate was huge. Uh-huh. And I mean, Chelsea and I were public school kids, and I know that that's kind of taboo because a lot of kids are like, man, we're Christian school, like we don't trust the system, you know. And we were public school kids in like Southeast Michigan. Like it wasn't like, you know what I'm saying? It wasn't like, okay, well, I would assume that public school is still bad down here, but I mean, like it was bad, yeah. Right? And sorry, we had like 2,000 people at our high school, man. Like every bathroom smelled like something different. You know what I'm saying? And
Aaron knows what you're saying.
Right, right. We're just gonna.
He was a janitor at our high school.
Right, right. So we're just
gonna, favorite job ever.
That was my first job.
I loved it.
I loved it too, man. I would come in on like I love doing the lunch custodian work because yeah. You're 11 to 7. You can get home early. But I think what was so cool about that is I remember. Up until like seventh grade, thinking that the only artist, the only person allowed to make music was Kirk Franklin. And I know that that sounds ridiculous, but I remember where I was when I heard my first like non-Christian album. It was Good Charlotte, The Young and the Hopeless, in my friend's garage. And I before that, it was only Kirk Franklin.
Yeah.
Like that's all I remember playing in my mom's minivan. And like so it was strange because even though we were like around a bunch of people who didn't view the same and didn't believe the same, it was like when we got home, it was completely different mm-hmm. than what we experienced outside. So some could say that made me the weird kid. I don't know. So we're just gonna put that there. But
yeah. Now, growing up, did you all ever and I mean, this is something I think all pastors have to work through, and we have to figure out how to raise godly kids and protect our kids also. I love all the conversation already, but one thing I was saying earlier is I feel like one of the things is pastor kids are expected to be pastors in the sense of like, you know, you've got to behave just like your parents do, or and you're held to a higher standard. And then I think the parents feel that too. So now they put extra weight on their kids. And do you feel like, how do we navigate through that? Because, you know, 1 Timothy 3:4 does talk about ruling over our families well as pastors. Right. And our family and our kids are in submission. Like, it's what it talks about. Our kids are in submission. So how did we navigate that as pastors with our kids?
Well, there was something that I know my parents always said to me. I think I was the worst out of the two of us, but that's up for debate.
Miss Chelsea, do you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, see. I didn't think she'd fight me so hard on that one.
There was no fight.
I know. I was waiting to be like, well, come on, you know, grace, right?
There's unity there.
Yeah, this, you know, one mind, one accord this morning on Box 2 Radio Network. I remember my mom looking at us and saying, like, hey, before we leave here, remember who you represent. You represent God. Mm-hmm. You represent me and your dad, and you represent our church. So remember mm-hmm. who you represent before you leave this house today.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't say that to me often, but I feel like she said that to me on the right days. You know what I'm saying? it was like she just knew. And
discerning the spirits.
Man, I remember one time, I don't know what I was going to do. It was like eighth grade, but I knew I was about to do something stupid with a bunch of friends. I know I was. And I got a text message that said, "Where are you right now?" And wow. I was like, "Well," and she's like, "You're wrong. You need to come home right now." And I was like, "Okay, cool." So it was like in the midst of that decision making process, she already told me I need to go home. And I was like, oh, "Okay." So I think it helps when your parents are like really close to the Lord.
Yeah.
Because I mean, they probably saved me from myself more times than I could probably count.
Yeah.
So I would think that wanting to honor him as a dad
uh-huh.
and wanting to honor her as a mom, because a lot of people, like, they don't, you know, if you're going to act up, you're not thinking about the care about your parents or anything like that. You're just going to do what you want to do. But even though we made mistakes, there's not been a time where I'm like, I don't want to, like, throw this down the drain so much that it hurts my parents, because
mm-hmm.
I cared about them too much,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's because they showed me that they cared about me a lot.
Yeah.
So because they showed that to me, I wanted to give them that same respect. So that's why it was easier for me. Now, what people need to understand is you do put those high standards on us because of that scripture that you read. And the issue with that is, if I'm 11 years old and you expect me to be as spiritual as my, like, 35-year-old father, you're insane.
Yeah. It's just not fair.
No. You're crazy. Go pray. And you become as holy as him.
My dad, he was the same person behind the pulpit as he was at home. Maybe a little bit more relaxed, maybe a little bit more funny at home, but he was the same person. And so I think that it was really easy for us to just take up an example. They took the, you know, train up a child in the way they should go very seriously. Yeah. And I think sometimes when you just are a strong example, but also protect them, like he was saying, like my mom knew when we were kids, we were going to make mistakes and we were not going to be perfect. But my mom, you know, if somebody said something unkind to us or whatever, she was always there protecting us, just very gently reminding them they're humans too, they're children. And I think just leading them to the Lord, leading your children to the Lord, just always being a constant example and praying that they will want to seek the Lord for themselves, as long as you step back and give them room. I mean, they will do that, and that's according to God's word. I'll just say about my daughter, I have a daughter who's 6, and we had revival last weekend, and I'm not going to lie to you, she's wild. And I have to be really, really careful with her in church, because, I mean, she will embarrass me. She is wild. And we were having an altar service, and I couldn't find her. And I found her sitting on the floor praying with a woman who had been slain in the spirit. And she got down on the floor and laid hands on that woman and was praying for her with 3 other adults. And it made me emotional. But I think it's because I've already taught her so much about Jesus, and then I just step back and let her, you know, do what she will.
Wow. Oh, that's powerful. That's powerful. Yeah. I know as a pastor and, you know, with kids too, it gets difficult to navigate sometimes. And, you know, there's times that I do think that our kids stress us out and like, one time we were taking communion, and my oldest son at that point is like 3 or 4, and we're in the middle of communion. It's a really small church at that point, and we're in the remembering stage and praying and thinking through before we take the bread, and all of a sudden from the bathroom you hear, "I'm finished," from my oldest son, and I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, 9 years later now, he's lifting his hands in the sanctuary and he's praying for people and seeking the Lord. And we just see these developing. And it is like, it's hard for me because sometimes, too, I've had to sit down with my kids and say, hey, look, just what Pastor Caleb said a second ago, his dad had to say, you know, you represent the Lord first, but then you do represent me and mom, and you represent us as pastors. And so I don't know, like as a pastor, I'm always wondering and prayerful about, like, where's that line not to cross? Like, you have to do it like this. Because my oldest adopted son, he did not want anything to do with Jesus. Like, that was apparent. He wasn't hiding. He didn't even know if he believed this stuff. And I told him from day one when I adopted him, like, I'm not going to force this Jesus thing down your throat. I said, you are going to be expected to have certain character and conduct because you will reflect me and you will reflect this church as a pastor's son. But I said, I'm not going to force you to be a believer because I can't. And so I operated gently, but I did have expectation. And now, you know, he's growing in the Lord. He got saved about 3 or 4 months ago. Growing in the Lord. Is he perfect? By no means. But he has understood, you know, about I'm a pastor's son, and even if I didn't believe it, there's certain character and integrity and things I was required to have as that. So I don't know how to, I don't even know if I navigated that well still, but I do think it's hard for pastors to think through all this.
Yeah. I think you did. Well, I'll say it like this. As far as like church, like then being in church, church was never an option. It was a given, Caleb, am I right?
Yeah, if you're sick, the Lord will heal you.
Yeah. Oh, my son was in church.
Yeah. So that was pre-COVID days. So it was like, you know, if your fever was 101, well, you can sit in the back with grandma and you'll be fine. And so being in church and spending time with the Lord in church was never an option. But I think they stepped back and gave us the latitude to encouraged us to serve, but gave us the room to explore, like, what, you know, what speaks to our heart. You know, Caleb, obviously, he had a calling to preach on his life. I don't, but I have a worship ministry calling. And so I think it was serving in kids, serving with youth, being on the worship team, taking music lessons, like, they always wanted us to serve in some way, but it all came back to, like, at the bare minimum, you will be in church. Mm. And then I think it's just going to church, you find the Lord on your own. And I will say, just because your children turn 18, too, doesn't mean that you stop being a parent to them. I had a time in my life, I was a married adult out of the house, and I talked about it a little bit at Revival. I went through a devastating second trimester pregnancy loss, and I was working for my dad at the time. I was leading worship, my husband and I called my mom, and I said, you know, I'm taking a break from church for a little while. It's really, really hard for me, the way I feel right now, to get up and sing "You're a Good, Good Father," and "All My Life You Have Been Faithful." I remember telling her, it's physically hurting me. And she said to me, no, maybe you take a break from the worship team, but you're still going to come to church. See you Sunday. Mm. And I needed her parenting at that time, even though I was like, you know, 26 years old. So I think it's just always, as a parent, offering support, but also telling them what's what when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah, I don't think there was ever a time where they gave up on us. You know,
yeah.
Like even if we made the wrong decisions, even if we went against their will, and it didn't matter how old we are, you know, they would still say, like, hey, we love you. You know better. You know what you're doing is wrong. You need to make the and in those moments you're like, you know, stop texting me, you know.
Would you just let me listen to Good Charlotte already? Right,
just let me listen to my friend's garage already? You know, on my Razor flip phone, mom. You know, but also too, I think what helped, because I remember when Chelsea was going through that. I remember spending time with her on the phone and telling her, you know, it's not his fault. You know, it's not like that. You know, you need to be. And I think a lot of the times too, what we're missing out on is it's like a team effort, because when she was weak, I was stronger.
Yeah.
When I am weak, she is stronger. So it's like when she wants to jump off the deep end, not only does she have mom and dad breathing down her back, but, you know, I come in and I'm like, hello.
Yeah.
But it's the same way. So, I mean, likewise, you know, with your children too, growing up, like, it's like when one of them get off the path, it's like, dude, what are you doing? Yeah. And I think it hits harder too, because sometimes it's like, oh, you're my parents, you know, you want me to be like that, you know.
Yeah.
But then when your sister comes along and, like, flicks you in the forehead, you know, you gotta make a decision.
Well, and I think as pastors' families, too, pastors' families, in my opinion, are, and it's a good thing, but they're abnormally, like, tight-knit. Like, they're, like, I've had people say to me, like, they notice, like, oh, you and your brother are so close. Well, that's because there's been times where, as a family, we've walked through, like, a lot of, well, I won't say a lot, but, like, there's been seasons in our life when we were young where our parents were being really hurt by a church, and that is by extension us. And so there was a lot of times when we were younger, like pre-teenage years, where it was like all we had was each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then you become teenagers and you realize still all you have is each other, because it's sometimes hard to make friends in youth group because they don't want to, like, kids don't want to hang out with you because they're afraid that they're going to do something, or they know they're going to do something bad, and they assume you're going to run off and tell your parents or whatever. So all through our growing up years, it was like, yes, we had friends in school and stuff like that, but when it came to church, we really only had each other. And I feel like there were a lot of times too where all four of us felt like all we had was each other and the Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just so important to cultivate that home life, because things can happen in church. Pastors, part of the job is you're just naturally lonely sometimes, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that can extend to your family. And so just really leaning into, like, cultivating a healthy, like, Christ-centered home life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where you feel like all of you can run to the Lord separately and together and just walk through whatever season you're in.
And I would say not only would people, like, try to avoid, you know, us when there was, like, clear sin, but on the opposite hand, I've been around church members who tried to get me to sin with them,
mm-hmm.
because that could justify their wrongdoing.
Yeah.
If the pastor's kid is here with me. But it was never pitched that way. It was like, dude, don't you want to hang out with us? Aren't you our friend? And it would always be more than one person.
Yeah.
They would never come solo, because that would be like an easy decision. No, they always came with the peer pressure, like, hey, man, like, aren't you a part of this? Aren't you a part of this group? I remember one time I lied to my mom to go see a movie that I shouldn't have seen with these youth guys, because they told me that, you know, we need to be a part of this. Like, this is really cool. We need to go see it. And I'm just a teenager. And my mom screened every movie that we watched. There was this Christian website. It would tell you how many swear words there were. It would tell you at what point what scene came up. It would tell you all that stuff. So I remember just going home, just, they want to see a movie. Well, what movie? Just completely lied to her and just went to it, because they said, like, hey, it's a bunch of the youth kids going. So I told her it was a youth event because a bunch of youth kids were going. The youth pastor wasn't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it, and then I went there and I'm like, what am I doing? But now, because I'm there, it's justified by them.
Yeah.
And I know that that's my, but you're like sitting there and you're
never thought about that before.
You're trapped in it, and they're just trying to be like, haha. Well, if he's here, and that's what's so dangerous, like, even being pastors now, is it's like, we have to still separate ourselves from stuff, and then people are like, you don't care about me. It's like, no, I care about you, and I don't want my life and your life to go down this road.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, but they'll try to get your kids, because that's an extension of you.
Yeah, that's, wow. I'm making a lot of mental notes, and I knew this was going to happen. It's flying by. We only have 3 minutes left. I knew it was going to fly by, and I made a lot of mental notes, and I really do. I want to unpack this more, because it is proven through studies that pastoring is one of the, like, I forgot what it was, like, one of the top two or three loneliest professions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In career, because you could be in a room with a lot of people and you still feel alone.
Yeah.
And because you're expected to emotionally interact with everybody, but nobody's supposed to emotionally interact with you. So you're giving of yourself all the time. But I've never really processed that going to my kids. That's really interesting. Yeah. And I'm unpacking in my own head. Like, I've learned to live there for so many years with the loneliness feeling and you're even in a crowded room, you still feel distant to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Because your kids will crave acceptance and love.
Yeah.
And that's exactly how the enemy is going to come after them.
Yeah.
And it's going to be through people who they feel like they can trust and they should feel that community with. But what's awful about that, you know, is that they're going to desire to be there so bad that they're going to make wrong decisions But the thing is my parents never shamed me for wrong decisions. They said, okay, did you learn from it? Okay, well, talk to me about it. Don't do that again. Was there groundings? Sure there were. Was there accountability? You better believe it. Spare the rod, spoil the child. You know, your boy got it. You know, I remember one time in like the second grade, they sat me next to a kid thinking I'd rub off on him, and I learned every swear word you could learn. Yeah. And I just set them in succession behind the pool. And I learned what Dial soap tastes like that day. So, I mean, there is consequences to your actions, but isn't that just what grace is? Like when Jonah got swallowed by a great fish, wasn't that just grace swallowing him whole and taking him where he needed to be?
Yeah.
So we can't view that correction as punishment, because then we'll never go to our parents, just like we never go to God when we feel like things are wrong. He's the only one who can fix it. You know, when I wrecked my car, my dad was the only one who could fix it. I had no money, but I just didn't want to tell him that I crashed it.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
So it's the same exact thing. Like, we should be able to do that, but...
We are out of time. My gosh, it's flown by. y'all gave me a lot to think about. I've been making my mental notes in here. Because being a pastor and a dad, I think it's difficult.
Yeah.
And being a pastor and a mom's difficult. And I don't hear anybody talking about this stuff much. Like, we always just give the... They're PKs. They're going to rebel. They're going to do all this. And I don't think that always has to be the case.
No. And you don't, we don't talk about this because we don't want to know. We don't want other people knowing that we have to struggle and we have to put up with it too. You know what I'm saying? That's stupid. Yeah.
Cause we're supposed to be, Superman, but we're still growing in grace just like everybody else is. Right. And we're still developing. And well, thank you both for the honesty and the vulnerability on this. And, hopefully, It may be something we have to continue on, because we didn't even get to half of what I wanted to talk about.
Well, when do you want us on again, man?
Yeah, we'll have to schedule this. Miss Chelsea,
I
didn't know if you was driving down today or you was going to fly in, or but no.
I would have loved it.
Chelsea, they had like donuts here for
you
and everything.
Yeah.
Like,
we had a care so upset. We had a care package. So it was everything. We were all out. But no, we do. Again, I really did love the Jericho Revival, and I loved worshiping with you guys. I could just see your all's genuine, authentic heart, and I just loved it. I loved that whole night. Caleb, you all led so well and put on an incredible event. So
thank you, man.
Yeah. Thank you all.
Thank you all so much.
Yeah, thank you.
We're out of time. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.